A busy second hour. I'm Jim Rome. I'm live. I'm in Southern California. Good to be with you. The program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Next hour, Buffalo Bills wide receiver Andre Roberts joins us. But we start this hour, as promised, by having a conversation with a cornerback for the Green Bay Packers. He had 6 tackles in Monday's win over Atlanta. 19 tackles. 2 tackles for a loss. He's got a quarterback hit. He has an INT this year. He led the Packers in passes defensed in each of his first 2 seasons. He was a member of the all-rookie team back in 2018. He was an all-conference player at Louisville. He was the 18th pick overall in 2018. Green Bay, 4-0. They're in first in the NFC North, and they are at Tampa Bay, October 18th. Jair Alexander is my guest. Jair, good to have you. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How about you?
I'm great. It's good to have you on the show. Thanks so much.
Hey,
I'm glad
to be on the show.
Yeah, good to have you on the show. So you're 4-0, and you're coming off another strong effort and a win on Monday night. You've got your bye week right now, so how is life for you at this point at the bye?
Oh, it's pretty good. I'm just focusing on getting my mental right and just getting my body right for these next games, because it's going to be a long stretch.
It is going to be a long stretch. You know, if we were to go back, and I know you're looking ahead, and you want to get your mental right and your body right, but if you were to go back to Monday night, Calvin Ridley, for instance, went into that game with 3 straight 100-yard games. You held him to 0 receptions on 5 targets. Now, I know you're not surprised by the results, but what was your mindset going into that game, and then what kind of a grade would you give yourself for that game?
Well, going into the game, you know, obviously, there was a lot of hype around Ridley because he is a good receiver, and I was just focusing on how I could dominate and how I could be dominant. I wasn't really focusing on, you know, the numbers that he put up, because that didn't matter to me. It what mattered is my game and how I was gonna stop his game. So, like you said, it was no surprise to me, but you know, it just felt good to be dominant.
Jair Alexander is my guest. I think that's really interesting. Like, you're not, I mean, obviously you're concerned about the guy you're matched up with, but you're more concerned about yourself. Where does that approach come from, that you're going to focus on you more than the other guy? Where does the approach come from? Where did you get that?
It's just a mindset that I have, you know. I mean, the biggest battle, I mean, with anybody is it starts within, and that's with anything. So, you know, if I can focus on my craft and things that I do best and, you know, maybe improve some things that are my weaknesses, you know, at the end of the day, I can be dominant, and it's been proven.
You know, I'm smiling even hearing that, because you're right. The biggest battle for anybody regarding anything is from within. I've heard you also say that your mental game this year is night and day from last year. How so? How is it different, and how have you improved mentally?
Well, I've been able to focus and be more consistent. You know, through some practices, such as meditation, it's really slowed the game down for me to a T almost, you know, and it's just like I can see some plays happening before they even happen. I'm able to visualize plays. I'm able to slow down, gain information from the offense, and be able to play fast at full speed.
You know, when you talk about meditation and slowing things down, I had a conversation on this show with Aaron Rodgers last week. Jair, he was saying the same stuff. Like, he was talking about how important it is to be mindful and to be present and to slow those things down. Like, are you guys kind of going about this separately? Have you had any kind of conversation with him and the approach mentally to the game? Because he said almost the same thing that you just said.
Oh, yeah. Me and A-Rod have conversations on these type of levels quite often. You know, it's pretty cool that we share a similar interest and similar liking in these things, such as being present and meditation, because, you know, I mean, it's always good to take a page from A-Rod, because he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And it's just cool that we share those qualities.
No doubt. So when you talk about getting ready for the matchup every single week, I know you're focused on you, but how much pride do you take in the fact that you're going to get matched up with the opposing team's top receiver every single week? How much pride is there for you in that, and how much do you like that challenge?
Oh, I love the challenge. You know, I mean, I'm the ultimate competitor. You know, I want to win in anything that I do. So being able to go against the best receiver is just like, you know, at this point, it's just clockwork. You know, it's just like making a glass of water. You know, it's just that easy for me, because I'm able to lock in and focus on the task at hand.
Now, your teammates and your coaches also talk about the fact that you're an energy bringer, that you don't just show up and make plays. You make plays and you give everybody energy. How do you explain that? Like, how do you give energy to other guys? Is that the way you've always been, or is that something you had to develop?
No, I think that's the way I've always been. You know, it's always fun going out there and, like, just giving energy. You know, that's one of my things that I like to do. I like to give good energy to my teammates, you know, because, I mean, shoot, with no fans, it's critical that we bring our own juice, and it's okay because I have enough juice for everybody.
It's so true, right? I mean, that's true, and the fact is you guys have to bring and create your own juice. How much of that juice is about your alter ego, Primetime John Money? What is your alter ego like, and how much power do you get from that?
Oh, man, my alter ego, it's pretty fierce. You know, when the lights come on, it's just a whole different me, you know? Just like outside of work, you know, I'm pretty calm and collective. You know, but once the lights come on and it's game time, I have this fierce look in my eyes and I'm ready to dominate. You know, I'm ready to eat up my opponent, spin him out, you know.
Jair Alexander joining us. Speaking of the lights coming on, I mean, you're going to show up for every single game no matter what, but is there extra juice on a Monday night under the lights when you know the entire world is watching? Even if the fans aren't in the stands, can you feel the extra attention, and does that help you play even better?
Oh, wow. See, you know, that just goes back to what I told you. You know, a lot of the battle is within, you know. So, you know, although it is a bigger game, you know, it just gives me all day to focus. It just gives me all day to visualize my plays that I'm going to make that night. And that really propels my game, especially on the primetime games, which is why I'm Primetime John Money.
You know, that, and you've got a new DB coach in Jerry Gray, who's kind of a legend of the game. And you said back in August something really interesting about him. You said, quote, "I could listen to Coach Gray talk the whole time about ball because there's things he's opened my eyes up to that I never realized and I never noticed." Like, what types of things? What have you learned from him?
Well, Coach Gray, I mean, he's a guru, you know. I feel like he could go on the other side of the ball and do well because he knows conceptually just so much about the game. And he's helped slow my game down tremendously, just being able to read the splits and you know, read the routes. He says all the time, the NFL is an open book test. All you have to do is study for it.
I like that. That's a great line. It's an open book test. You just have to study. Look, I can make the argument that you are one of the elite players at the position. In fact, if I did, I would not be the only one. Pro Football Focus has you as the top-ranked cornerback in the NFL right now. Does it seem like people now are starting to realize this, and does that feel good? Or does it bother you that they didn't already know this? And does part of you want to say, hey, man, I've been doing this for a while. What's taken the rest of you so long to catch up?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm just content with where I'm at right now, you know, and I'm just never satisfied. So, you know, I like you said, I've been doing this, you know, but just the fact that people are taking notice and I'm able to, you know, encourage and inspire the youth and other players that are coming up, I think that's like the most satisfaction I get, just knowing that, you know, people, you know, it's young kids out there that look up to me and look up to my game, and that's really been keeping me going. You know, I didn't know that, you know, that kids looked up to me so much. And, you know, I get all these comments and stuff on Instagram from these kids, and that's just my biggest motivation. So, you know, just keep sleeping, but I'll wake people up.
Right, so give me an example. Like, these kids, when they reach out to you on social, what are the types of things that they say to you, and how does that make you feel?
Well, they're just like, man, you're the GOAT. You know, you're my favorite corner. You inspire me on and off the field. You know, keep preaching the peace and love, and it's just satisfying, you know, because, I mean, you know, in the NFL, things happen so fast. Like, we have game, then the game's over, then you're on to the next game, not even being able to really take in, you know, the dominant performance that I had. So seeing those comments is just always uplifting and encouraging, you know.
Jair Alexander, my guest for a few more moments. I do know. Well, I could imagine. I wouldn't know, but I could imagine. Hey, listen, dude, talk to me for a minute about sunglasses. Your sunglass game is strong. Aaron Jones also has come on. He's got some pretty sweet shades. Personally, I've always been a Chrome Hearts guy. Like, I bought my first pair, and then and they're pricey, but I could never wear anything after that because I couldn't. That's where I went. What about sunglasses? How are you approaching sunglasses, and what kind are you wearing?
Sunglasses. They're just so cool. It just adds a different, you know, lens to life, or a different perspective to life, you know. I just really like them. They just feel so comfortable. I got some Oakley shades, you know, because I've been told I look the best in them. So I've been wearing the Oakley shades. But, you know, if I get any cool shades anywhere, I'll wear any cool shades that I see, you know.
I'm with you, man. Sunglasses are cool. They definitely help. They help a lot. All right, so when you return from the bye, you get to face Tom Brady, Mike Evans, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How much are you looking forward to that challenge and to continue to show the world how elite that you are and where your game is now?
Oh, man, that's going to be a good game. You know, got one of the best quarterbacks in the game, get to go up against him, and a really good receiver, Mike Evans. So I'm always looking forward to the challenge each and every week. You know, like I said, part of being consistent, and I'm just ready for the challenge.
All right, so one last thing. You've got the bye week right now. Under league rules, you have to stay in Green Bay. So how are you approaching that? What are you doing?
I'm just taking advantage of just the yoga and the meditation and the film study. I'm getting ahead on film, you know, no days off. As you can see, that's how you stay on top. You know, it's never any days off. If you want to be at the top of the game, no breaks.
Dude, I love that notion of no days off. It, like, on that seventh day, is it an easier day? Or when you say no days off, are you treating every single day the same way?
See, now for me, no days off could be, you know, film. It could be footwork placement. You know, no days off is basically like doing something every day that's going to help propel my game or help stay at the top. You know, whether that be eye discipline or, you know, like I say, even doing yoga or meditation, even in those cases, I'm winning the day. So no days off.
Dude, I'm trying to let you go, but what about yoga? Like yoga to me, I've only done it a few times. It's not easy. Like, it's harder than it looks. What's the benefit to you in doing yoga? What do you get out of that?
It just keeps me real flexible. You know, I do it in the morning. I don't even have to stretch before practice, you know, because I'm already feeling good, feeling loose, you know. So it's also real calming, and it helps me center and balance myself.
Jair Alexander, my guest. He had 6 tackles in that win over Atlanta. They are 4-0, and they've got a big one coming up on October 18th. Jair, great job, man. Great energy. Great to have you on the show. Really appreciate that conversation.
Hey, thank you. Have a good one.
You too. Have a great one. What a pro. Man, he is a pro. Led the Packers in passes defensed in each of his first 2 seasons. I love that response about no days off. What I took from that was I'm just doing something every single day. I'm working on something. I'm working on my craft. Eye discipline, film, weights, yoga, something, anything, no days off. Like you clones, you take no days off every single day. A tweet or an email about Ruby Tuesday or 5 guys or somebody who gained 5 pounds or somebody who died. You've got this notion of no days off, twisted clones. This says Rome Slice. Let me just read this the way it's written. Rome Slice. Jesus Christ. It's creamed corn.
Jesus Christ. It's Jason Bourne.
Not creamed corn. Jason Bourne.
Jesus Christ. It's Jason Bourne.
Let me read the entire email. Rome Slice. Jesus Christ. It's cream corn. Regards, Matt Damon turning 50. Geoff and Lincoln. War Bourne. Taking out an asset. Using a tennis ball from the leg of his walker.
Jesus Christ. It's Jason Bourne.
All right, so I haven't seen Damon lately. Does he have that look too? Damon always looks good. Damon generally is taking very good care of himself. He's an action star. He's got to, right? Jesus Christ, it's cream corn. Bro, 50 is the new 35. If you take care of yourself. You notice that when I talk to these guys, and especially elite athletes, pro athletes, body as temple types, and the guys who are next level with it, no matter how well or how committed you are to taking care of your body, if you don't take care of your mind, none of that matters. That I'm more and more into this than I've ever been before. It's because 50 is the new 35. And I don't want to hear, quote, Jesus Christ, it's a cream corn.
Jesus Christ, that's
it's Jason cream Bourne. Corn. Jason Bourne, man. Geoff, take the rest of the day off, dude. Geoff, take the rest of the year off. Geoff, take the rest of your life off. Geoff, never email or tweet this program ever again. Jason Bourne is 50? Matt is 50? You like apples? Too bad, they'll crack your dentures. Hey-o! Yeah, man, that'll happen. He is 50. Guy's been around for a long, long time. Go to his IMDb page. Yeah, it would stand to reason. He is 50. That'll happen. Anybody else want to come in here and try and make it even worse than it already is? I'm here busting my ass, giving you good interviews, good takes, good content, and you're bringing me down. Do better. Hunter Pence brought me up. See, I'm fighting this unbelievable battle where I keep trying to find people to talk to that are positive, energetic, upbeat. And then I bring you clones in, and then you go the other way with it. I'm swimming upstream. Sometimes I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle. Hunter Pence is the other way. I hadn't spoke to him in a number of years, and he started the conversation. I don't want to give up how it started, but it started off amazingly. He said something to me to start the interview during this podcast that kind of blew my mind. Something that he heard in the jungle way back in the day that literally changed the path of his career, he said. I'm like, damn, really? I didn't know that. And his point to me was, I've been meaning to tell you this. So you want to listen to that podcast after the program or during the weekend or at the gym or during your commute, whenever you want. Just don't listen to it right now, but find time to listen to it. A lot of times I get, hey, Rome, I'm going for a hike. Or, hey, Rome, I'm going on a trip. What's a good episode to listen to? And my response is, all of them. But if you want to start with one, start with the latest one. Because we all need some good, positive energy. Hunter Pence, Ep 146. All right, old man Ritt, get me out. Taking a time out. The old man's got a birthday coming up next week. Not me, him. Well, me and him. It's so weird, right? How weird is it, one, that I hired Ritt? Because he's just kind of an odd dude. I mean, I'd say it to your face. In fact, I am, Ritt. You're looking right at me. You're an odd dude, bro. I mean, you're a good dude and a good worker. You're an odd dude. How weird that he and I have the same birthday. And that Dwight Eisenhower shares the same birthday. And that Ritt looks exactly like Dwight Eisenhower. Like, the whole thing is so weird. And it's going to be really weird next Wednesday when it all goes down. Andre Roberts, next hour. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Do better. How about that Thursday night matchup? Tampa Bay and Chicago. Who you got? Who do you like in that game tonight? We'll be tracking that as well. And a lot of baseball. Lots of baseball this evening. All right, so we change up on Thursdays, right? Everybody moves over one chair. And the flight deck comes in, which means he is screening telephone calls. If you want to speak directly to the icon himself, James Kelly, 1-800-636-8686. Normally it's Adam Hawk. He moved to the back row. James Kelly's in the front row. Ike is in the front row, rocking his tie. All right, so Bills Mafia. You think that you're all pretty excited, right, about what you have seen through the first four games of 2020 with Josh Allen. You should be. I'm here to tell you. You should be, and I know you are, and with good reason. But I'm also here to tell you, you've got nothing on a certain Hall of Famer when it comes to love and respect for your quarterback. Woo! That guy. Yes, the old gunslinger. The old gunslinger is all in on Josh Allen. He's a huge Josh Allen guy. And not even you Bills fans would be willing to go where the slinger just went with his comparison of that dude. And Allen, like the slinger himself, has got a howitzer of a right arm. So I guess we should know better when it comes to the slinger and the way he approaches life and therefore his analysis. I mean, there has never been a window too small for Brett Favre to try and force something into. There's never been a window that he couldn't figure out a way to get something or force a throw into. But even for the slinger, this next one is next level. First off, let me make this very, very clear. While appearing on a Sirius XM NFL show, Favre was absolutely correct in his assessment of Josh Allen, at least for 97% of the answer. Anyway, but what he did was he showered him with praise and dap and said all the right things about the young quarterback. I mean, Josh Allen is straight balling this season. He deserves all the positive run that he's getting. But, and there generally is a but with the slinger, Brett Favre did what he always does. He tried to extend the play, and instead of throwing the ball away and taking the field goal or checking down, he instead let it rip at the very end, trying to make the impossible play like he always does.
Man, he looks awesome. That kid is a tremendous talent. He can sling it. He can move. For a big guy, he can really move. But more than anything, we saw that with him the last few years. But what we're seeing now is he's taking it to the next level. He's winning games. He's putting an exclamation point on, you know, on the game itself, week in and week out. It's really, I think, for Buffalo fans and the organization, it's what you've been waiting to see, and you've gotten it. I mean, his time is now, and I think it's going to be for quite a while. And I think Josh Allen will be the new Tom Brady. You know, at some point, he will be running the division.
It's like the most Brett Favre thing ever, right? The perfect Brett Favre response. I mean, for real, he starts off great. He reads what's going on, steps outside the pocket, should just check down, bail out, but no, has to go slinger, chuck it across his body, forgets to see the safety who is standing right there, INT. Uh-oh, Tom Brady. A Tom Brady comparison, Brett. I mean, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time. And the slinger is already comparing Allen to Brady. This is Slinger's late NFC Championship gameplay against the Saints, right? You probably remember this, right, Vikings fan?
Chester, the single set, burying in motion, right to left, back to the right. Brett Favre goes back to pass, he pumps. Now he fires over the middle, intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter, near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Absolutely incredible. An absolutely incredible hometown call. I mean, that ran the entire gamut, right? From, like, shock, despondency, an absolute furious by the end of it. Why do you even ponder passing? How do you not take a knee, man? This ain't Detroit. It's the Super Bowl. Sorry, Viking fan. That's just the greatest call of all time. I had to do it. An unbelievable call. Again, Brett, you should have just taken the knee after the first few compliments, but you had to try and force it in there. Except Tracy Porter was waiting for you right there. Ball game. Thanks for coming. Hey, old man Ike, as long as you're in that chair, what would Brett's answer sound like if Paul Allen were listening and calling in live or calling it live?
His time is now, and I think it's going to be for quite a while. I think Josh Allen will be the new Tom Brady.
You've got to be kidding me.
Josh Allen will be the new Tom Brady.
I mean, you can take a knee.
You know, at some point, he will be running the division.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Poor John Sullivan had to be thinking, not again, Brett. This time, you make the tackle. Listen, you can't be comparing Allen to Tom Brady right now. Brady has won 17 AFC Eastern titles. Brady has 6 Lombardis. Josh Allen and the Bills, as of today, are 4-0. Look, I'm going to be very clear about this, Mafia. Everything the Slinger said about Allen was true, except that part about Tom Brady. I mean, he is a tremendous talent. His arm is plain stupid. Like effortless throws on a rope that can make your jaw drop. He can also move. He's great on the move for a guy his size. His decision-making is so much better. And most importantly, he is winning games, leading from the front, showing his toughness, leaves the field, goes to the locker room, looks like he's got jacked up shoulder, comes right back out. Man, I love what this guy's doing. I love the guy. Now, instead of dropping TB43 in the same sentence as Allen, Favre should have left it at he's a legitimate 2020 NFL MVP candidate. Not the front runner, but a legitimate candidate in the conversation through four games. Now, that's a take. That's a correct take. I mean, like, I don't know. Does Brett, like, really believe something like that when he says that? Or is this another case of another guy in front of a microphone having to say something to get people to look at them and respond? Like, I don't know what's worse. That he actually were to believe something like that, or that he's doing that to be one of those guys. Look, I'm not coming in here to drop a wet blanket over the entire proceedings and tell the mafia not to be hyped about the 2020 Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. You should be. Keep jumping through your tables, mafia, responsibly. They're a damn good football team now. They are. And it starts with Allen. But it's not only Allen. It's the entire team. It's the coaching staff. They're solid top to bottom. They are complete. Talent on defense. The offense is playing their best ball since who knows when. They're averaging a K-gun-like 31 per game. They've got the leading receiver in the NFL in Stephon Diggs. But that doesn't mean, Slinger, that you start comparing Stephon Diggs to Jerry Rice. He's not that. Let me just say this very simply. The Bills are legitimate contenders, and they're legitimate contenders right now. But Slinger, man, you gotta live sometimes to live and play another play. Throw it away. He still can't seem to do that.
Now he fires over the middle, intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now.
So, Mafia, if and when your Bills do actually get to play the Titans, and I'm not sure if or when that's going to happen, but if and when that does happen and you win, you know you will get the love and respect you deserve from me. But I'm still not going to compare your young quarterback to Tom Brady. And neither should you, Slinger. Throw it away, man. Check it down. Take a knee. Dude, this is not Detroit. It's the Super Bowl.
Why do you even ponder passing?
Why do you even ponder comparing this guy?
And try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Like, dude, sounds like he wants to go down and fight him. That's an amazing call. Like, I can't believe I saw that. And then the anger just rising. Come on, man. Take a knee. This is not Detroit. Yeah, and he's not Tom Brady. He's 4-0. He's great. He's so much better. Easy, Brett. When we come back, I'm going to change up still again. Maybe some golf. Bryson DeChambeau. You would not believe where he's getting his inspiration from now. I mean, this is a really different guy anyway, but you will not believe where he's getting his inspiration from now. That's coming up. Andre Roberts, speaking of the Bills and the Mafia. Andre Roberts coming up in hour number three. My thoughts on my conversation with Hunter Pence also coming up. We're halfway through the Thursday version of the program, which means it is time for a sports update. Here you go. Here is Rich Ackerman. Damn, Rit. That's some kind of record. I don't think we've ever bumped in that long without that mic coming on. Must be Thursday. Welcome back. Everybody is doing the best they can because everybody moved over one seat. We should make this really interesting. I should go on the other side of the glass and try to push those buttons. And any one of you, Ritz like me, can come over here and sit on this side of the glass and do this. Why not? Or at least for the hour. Maybe not for the entire program. All right, so welcome back. I've got Andre Roberts of the Buffalo Bills coming up next hour. Let me talk about something totally different for a minute. I want to talk some golf, and here's why. Like, if you're a golf purist, and you're sick and tired, and follow me on this, don't tune out, Maybe you're not about golf. You think this is not going to be interesting. If I'm talking about it, it's going to be interesting and probably entertaining. But if you're a purist and you're sick of hearing about Bryson DeChambeau's dismantling of the game, I've got some bad news for you. You're about to hear about Bryson DeChambeau dismantling the game yet again. And you better get used to it, because this guy and his protein shakes and his bazooka big stick are not going to go away anytime soon. In fact, it's all about to level up. Remember, this is the same guy who just bludgeoned Wingfoot at the U.S. Open 3 weeks back in the most violent way imaginable. And it got a whole hell of a lot of people all sorts of hot and bothered in the way he did it. And no more than 15 minutes after he forcefully ripped his first major, he was right there at the podium slamming chocolate milk from a wine glass, promising to only get stronger, bigger, and hit it even further.
And I'm not going to stop. Next week, I'm going to be trying a 48-inch driver. We're going to be messing with some head designs and do some amazing things with Cobra to make it feasible to hit these drives, hopefully 360, 370, maybe even farther. We don't know.
For the record, what is your current height and weight?
6'1", 230 to 235, depending on if I've eaten steak or not.
Do you want to be bigger when you get to Augusta?
Yeah. I think I can get to 245. It's going to be a lot of working out, but I feel like I can still get up there if I work hard enough.
He's trying to get it to 245. So if you thought that was some sort of empty threat fueled by the bravado of ultimate vindication minutes earlier, it's not that. 2 days ago, the guy shows up in Vegas for this week's Shriners Open and was testing out that new 48-inch driver he referenced on the range. Here is a tweet from Golf.com's Andrew Tursky. Quote, Bryson was hitting balls over the fence into the trucks behind the range with his driver from the designated hitting area. So he moved back and hit it softer. The fence is roughly 360 yards away and uphill. So to hit a ball 360 uphill over a fence and bounce it off a bunch of TV trucks is pretty insane. So is moving 40 yards back and having to dial it down just to keep it in the yard. And all of this is in preparation for Augusta next month, where Bryson's going to attempt to beat golf's most hallowed track into submission on live TV for the world to see. Now, we all know inspiration can come from anything and anywhere at any time. And it turns out BDC's Grip It and Rip It approach is actually modeled after one of the most famous cinematic golfers ever. This is wild. I'm not talking about Tin Cup either. I'm not talking about Tin Cup pulling three wood 11 times and drowning his chance at winning a U.S. Open. I'm talking about a guy who can actually reach the intended target, even if that target is a guy standing 400 yards away on his front porch.
You boys are going to pay for that. Ow! You hit that guy.
He shouldn't have been standing there.
You know that clip because you know that movie. I'm talking, of course, about America's favorite long driver ever, winner of the 1995 Waterbury Open, Happy Gilmore. Check this guy. In a brand new interview with Golf.com, Bryson DeChambeau said, and I quote, "You know, I watched Happy Gilmore a little while ago, and it just re-inspired me to try to hit it as far as possible. I'm not trying to do anything other than play like Happy Gilmore."
Who the hell is Happy Gilmore?
He said that. Bryson DeChambeau, "I'm just trying to play like Happy Gilmore."
Who the hell is Happy Gilmore?
You know, is this guy trolling all of us, or does he mean this? Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore, for those of you who do not have a childhood, or a VCR, or friends, or good parents, or a sense of humor, is a brilliant character played by Adam Sandler in the best golf movie ever made. And save your Caddyshack outrage, Happy Gilmore dunks on Caddyshack. In the film, Gilmore is a failed hockey player, blessed with the ability to hit the ball a mile. He also aced a par four, much to the chagrin and displeasure of his arch enemies, Shooter McGavin.
He shoots, he scores!
Oh, man, that was so much easier than putting. I should just try to get the ball in one shot every time.
Good play.
Like Bryson DeChambeau hitting balls out of a driving range is not just incredible. It's literally life imitating art. Because Happy Gilmore did the exact same thing back in 95.
All right, $50, I can hit it over the highway. Any takers?
So, BDC is not looking at Tiger or John Daly or J.B. Holmes for inspiration. He's looking at the gold jacket winner as his inspiration to try to win a green jacket.
Gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit?
And if this guy rolls into Augusta next month and he rips his second major with Happy Gilmore as his guiding light, as his mentor, the golf world is going to want him kicked off the tour altogether.
You've got to kick him off the tour.
Not me. Hey, man, why stop there? Why stop there? I want this guy to trade in the Puma for an untucked Boston Bruins gamer. And to turn his putter into a hockey stick. And to find some way to bring Chubbs back from the dead. I'm going to want this guy to beer bong protein shakes in between shots. And scream at his ball when it does not find the hole.
Son of a bitch, ball. Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
Suck my white ass, ball.
Bryson, man, go all in. Flip this bitch upside down. Win the house for your grandma. Get the endorsement deal with Subway. Hire a homeless caddy with one shoe and then give Bob Barker the hands.
You like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
I mean, dude, commit to the character. Go all in. Don't stop now. We've all been waiting on a sequel for a quarter century anyway. Give it to us. Here's to Bryson, not only ripping the game up, but pissing off every single Shooter McGavin out there who just can't stand it.
This man is destroying golf. I saw two big fat naked bikers in the woods off 17 having sex. How am I supposed to chip with that going on, Doug? You've got to kick him off the tour.
He's not breaking any rules, and until he does...
But he's a disgrace to the game!
You may be right, but our ratings are up, and we're attracting new youthful sponsors. I'm sorry, Shooter. There's nothing I can do.
Life imitating art. Or he's the biggest troll ever. Yeah, man, Happy Gilmore's my guy. I watched that movie again. It reminded me, man, hit the ball as far as you can. Just hit the ball as far as you can. Yeah, he is. And it's working. And he's looking to add 10 pounds before Augusta. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Let's get to the phones. We go to Colorado Springs. Monica. What's going on, Monica? How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you?
I'm super. What's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking, like, I hadn't watched a Laker game until the bubble started, and now I see why you like Caruso so much. He basically represents the other side of the glass in, like, one person. He's got, like, Hawks frailty, James Kelly serial killer stare, and Rich's ability to age rapidly. And, the guy's 26. Like, that just can't be right. Congrats on the asterisk, I guess. And I hate agreeing with Jerome and Johnny, but, like, turn the page on the Astros. You say, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, and it's only cheating if you get caught, done and done. Or Janet being the loveliest and luckiest woman alive. I'm out.
Look at Monica. War Lady Clones. Racker. She said, I'm glad that I saw the Lakers in the bubble because everything you said about the Caruso is true. And then she likened him to every member of the XR4TI. That he has the, quote, frailty of Hawk, the serial killer look of James Kelly. What'd she say about you, Rit? Must have something to do with the bald head and him looking much older than he actually is. And then she mixed in her take on the Astros. I love Rich just saying, I don't know, I wasn't listening. I just said, what did he say? Or what did she say about you? He goes, I don't know. Not listening. You're not listening. You're the engineer of a radio program. What do you mean you're not listening? It was disparaging, therefore I'm not listening. Oh, so you'll listen if they say something good about you. Well, if that's the case, Rich, you're never going to hear Jack. Wow. Third hour coming up. Anybody else want to call? Go ahead and do it right now.